Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. And then we're going to read from a book that most of you are not going to be familiar with. But I want you to read at least that chapter later. But we're going to also read from the book of Amos, a deep Old Testament book. We want to deal with the subject this morning concerning God's will for all of us. I think I entitled it Yahweh's Will for All of Us. And, you know, we've been studying the Word on Wednesday night. And if you're not able to come out and be with us, I hope that you do pick up and listen to the class we've done so far. It took me 2 weeks to do it. We're already a week behind. But this week, I think I got the order back where it belongs. But I really encourage you to listen to that, particularly in the area of great faith, you know. And that's, I'm mentioning this only because it could filter into this message this morning. And that is where Christ said on several occasions, he talked about people having great faith. And so we discussed Wednesday night, and I asked the question, what is great faith? You know, is great faith more than faith? Or is faith great faith? Is great faith more than a little faith? Is great faith more than some faith? And, I had everybody working on it at home and things. But very simply, let me say this, because it comes into everything with God. There's a difference between faith and great faith. Faith is having a conviction based upon hearing. I'm convicted by God's word. I know God's word is true. I believe it wholeheartedly. That's faith. But at the same time, even though I do all that, I may never act on it. I may never really commit to what I believe. You know, just like this morning with Pastor Anna, some people would think it's funny to pray for an air conditioner. I've seen it work. In various places. Some people think you're crazy to pray for a car. I've seen it work where a car made a 200-mile trip, and when I got it to the service station, they said I shouldn't have made it a block because the engine, the fuel line was so blocked that the car shouldn't have made it a block. Made over 200 miles. Nothing is foolish when you're asking God about it. And nothing is beyond his ability. But see, a lot of people with just faith, we believe God can do all things, but we don't act on it. Great faith, on the other hand, believes God can do all things, but great faith takes place when we act on it. And that's the difference. Many of us don't act on it. We need to start acting or doing what we know the Word of God tells us to do. And we need to start living the life the Word of God tells us to live. Now, the only problem with that is this. The only way I can do that is to know the Word of God. How many of you right now know that God has a will for your life? How many of you know what that will is? You've been called to something specific. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me read. Romans 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now notice what he says. That you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Now better translations say your spiritual worship, not reasonable service. Because that's what that word means. Reasonable service means spiritual worship. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, verse 3, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I lost my stack. Now, down in the book of Amos, I want to read just the 12th verse of the 4th chapter. I encourage you to read this chapter later because there's a lot going on. And several times God talks about what he's doing and what he was doing. And yet he says, the people refuse to turn to him. And I think that 4th chapter speaks a lot to the people today. But the 12th verse is the only one I want to look at. It says, therefore, this is what I will do unto you, O Israel. And because I do this unto you, prepare to meet your God. Now, I want to read that in a way that you realize what it is God just said there. I want to replace Israel with the church and let you know what it is God's doing. It would read this way. Since I will do this to you, and he's referring to releasing his power. So he says, since I will release my power to you, church, prepare to meet your God. Now, Amos 4 is not a good release. God's punishing them. But I believe this is the number one command of God to everybody. And that is, prepare yourself to meet your God. It's going to happen. One day or another, one side of the room or the other, you're going to meet God. The question is, are you going to prepare yourself to meet God? Now, nothing pleases God more than for his children to be involved or engaged in his word, his will for them. Nothing pleases him more. In Psalm 40, verse 8, the psalmist said, I delight to what? Do your will, O God. In Mark chapter 3, verse 35, you can read it later because it states, literally, don't have to wrestle through the writing, it says it plain, that the evidence of my relationship with the Lord, the evidence of your relationship with the Lord is identified by doing the will of God. What he says in Mark 3, 35, Christ says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? In other words, who is my family? Except them, he said, that do the will of my Father. He identifies our relationship in such way as whether or not we're doing the will of God. And based on this truth, our daily morning prayer should be centered on fulfilling God's will in our life for this day. Now, some people don't do the morning prayers. I have to do it in the morning because I have things I go through at night I forget in the morning. But if you can pray at night for the next day, do it, whatever it is. But because of the fact that my relationship is identified by my working the will of God, that should be the main thing on my mind. God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to be? And you know what's amazing? And that is this. All of us do, or at least should know, that the will of Satan for our lives, does anybody know what it is in one word? Kill. One word. You said it. Destroy. That's Satan's will. And most of us know it in one form or another. You know, whether we use one word or the other word, it comes into the same, that the powers of darkness are bent on destroying our lives. And we know that. But what about when it comes to knowing God's will for us. Well, when we get to there, many people start fading off. Now, what we need to understand is this. There are two categories to the will of God. There is one, the general will of God. And there is the specific will of God. Two entirely different things. The specific will of God his specific will is one being called to do or to perform or to work a particular ministry in a particular way. It's not all about speaking in a pulpit. Your ministry may be cleaning the church, but if that's your ministry, I remember back in Smithfield that, you know, I was in the days of my youth, let me say, I was held up as an excitable minister, an excitable preacher. And I could not only get deep, but I could do it loudly, and I could, you know, bring all the presence that we had back in the 80s. And I could never figure out where this reputation came from. Until one day I went into the church that we had, and I heard this ruckus in the sanctuary. And we were in a storefront building. And I walked back into the sanctuary, and there was this sister who cleaned the church twice a week. And she had draped herself over the podium, screaming at the top of her lungs against powers of darkness working against her pastor, calling out to God as loud as she could that her pastor be protected to minister the word effectively and efficiently. And I thought, my reputation has nothing to do with me. It has to do with her faithfulness of calling out to God. You see, your ministry could be engaged in anything. The specific will of God. The specific will of God for my life is to be a pastor. I wasn't always a pastor. I didn't start as a pastor. I grew to become a pastor. But that's the specific will. It's something just for you. And although that will might, although your ministry in that might come to an end, all that means is God's moving you into something different. Not that he's done with you, but something different. But when it comes to the general will of God, that has to do with all of us. Regardless of whether you're the pastor in the pulpit or the cleaning lady or the bathroom attendant or whatever, if you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, the general will of God applies to you. And we should know that. Now, amazingly, for many people that do know God's specific will, if you talk to them about his general will, they couldn't answer the question. And I'm not going to do that to anybody today. But we're going to look at the general will. What is it that God wants us all to be involved in? What does God want all of us to be engaged in? And I can tell you, our purpose statement plays a part in this for breakthrough. But it also applies to the whole general will of God, that we be a people concerned with the needs of others. That we be a people actively involved in times of worship. That we be a people, as the R says, reaching out as a worldwide witness for Jesus Christ. That we should be a people that are effectively and efficiently putting out training for people to be able to fulfill God's purpose. And that we should share the gospel, and to do so without compromising it. And that's another message for another day and another battle that's coming to the church. Is the world is trying to force us to compromise the gospel. We can't say it the way we want to say it. We've got to say it using their language. Another day. So, there's a number of biblical calls that lead us or guide us or direct us to honor God's will. We're going to look at some this morning. Some are in Romans chapter 12. Mark 1 releases one where Christ says that his will for his people is to reach mankind. You'll be fishers of men. And then in Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, there's another aspect of his will, one of my favorite, where you can read it later. And again, these are not hidden words. It's not you got to know Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic and Latin to figure it out. It simply says, Christ chose us to be with him. And then, after my time of being with him, I am to go out empowered by him. That's his will for all of us. To spend time with him, then out of that time, go forth, empowered by him to do the work of the church. But we want to look at three particular things very quickly concerning God's perfect will for your life, my life, our life. So what are they? Number one, and who's in the back? Joyce, put these up for me. You only have to focus on the two words, and you'll see how it goes. But number one, God's will is for his people to be holy. Just put up be holy, number one. We know we're talking about God's will. God's will is for us to be holy. And that's absolutely for all believers. Now, the word holy, among other things, if you look it up and read it, it simply has to do with being set apart or set aside from something. In the natural sense, that's what the word holy means. However, as always with God, the word holy goes beyond its basic meaning. And when God talks about us being holy, as he said in Romans 12, that you may be holy, acceptable. The word holy, as God uses it, empowers the general definition to this point. When God talks about you and me being holy, it means this, that we are set apart from something to be set apart to something. We are set aside from one thing to be set aside to something entirely different than that. We're set aside, let me say it this way, we're set aside from the world. Well, you can see this in light of Colossians chapter 1, I think verse 13, where the word says, you have been delivered from the powers of darkness. See, we've been set apart from that. We've been set aside from that. Listen, saints, the powers of darkness shouldn't have nothing to do with any of us. Because we're not a part of that no more. We've been set aside from that. But Colossians 1:13 goes on and says, he has delivered you from the powers of darkness and what? Translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. We've been set apart from one to be set aside for another. We've been set apart from the old thing. We're set aside to something absolutely brand new. You see, through the blood of Yeshua, we have been made partakers of God's holiness. If you've accepted the blood and you've accepted the Lord, and here's what we got to get, because I know it's warm, and I'm not going to hold us up here. So I'm going to one word some things. God's will for each of us is to be holy. Now listen, in our thoughts, our actions, our conversations, and our worship. Now, I could speak on all of them, I'm not. But that's God's will, is that I am set apart from one and I'm set apart to the other, set aside to the other. And I am to be holy in my thoughts, my actions, my conversation, as well as my worship. In Romans 6:19, the word says that we are to yield ourselves. Members of righteousness, or servants of righteousness, unto holiness. That's our call. Now why? Because when we are clean, when we are pure, when we are holy vessels, Yahweh will use us for His glory. So number one, general will, God wants us to be holy. Second aspect of God's will generally is God's will is for you and I to be healthy. Holy, healthy. In John's epistle, third epistle, John said that it was his desire for each of us to what? Prosper, be in health, even as our soul prospers. Now, as much damage has been done to that word, the word prosper in 3 John, verse 2, simply means to be led and directed through life in an easier way. That's God's will for us. To be led and directed in an easier way. It also means to travel through life on a smooth road, a smooth path. A smooth path. Now, give me a second. Somebody say amen, so I ain't got to repeat that. What were we amening? Give me a second? Because that's what I said. Give me a second. Somebody amen that. Everybody amen it. Good thing I knew you understood what I was talking about. Now, what is the value? And I want to say this at the outset. If you're not healthy, doesn't mean you're wrong. Doesn't mean you've done evil. Doesn't mean you're bad. It means the same thing to you as it does with Pastor T. You've got some difficulty in getting from where I am physically to where God wants me to be. That's all it is. God's not mad at me. He's not angry with you. The difficulty is me getting from here to there. I talked to somebody the other day on the phone that was in the hospital, that hospital now, and they were telling me how they were feeling, but they had a rough time in the hospital. And they made the statement, they said, I'm not feeling as bad as I was. Thank God, I'm feeling better. And I said, well, can we say it this way? And they said, what? I said, you're not feeling like you were, but you're not feeling like you're going to. But you are doing better. Did that make sense? See, I'm not feeling as bad today as I did yesterday. But I ain't nowhere compared to where I expect to be tomorrow. So please keep that in mind. Just because you are held up with sickness or illness. But I do hope this will help you as it challenges me. To put forth effort if this is a complication. So let me ask, what is the value? Oh, I'm not going to ask the question, I'll just tell you. The value of serving God or having a healthy body and a healthy mind is the fact that we can serve the Lord in a greater measure. Now hang with me. When our bodies are sick or afflicted, when our minds are heavily troubled, those conditions have the ability and have a way of dictating and limiting our actions, our thoughts, and our focus. There are times you might not have freedom of movement because of a physical malady. And that's where the health comes in. It's not that I can't serve God in this. It's just that the physical man, when he's broken down, or the mental man, when he's broken down, runs into problems sometimes when it comes to serving God with the fullness we want to. And these problems, they may cause us to pray and cry out to God to help us. They really may. But they're also going to hinder us in our performing God's will. It's important, saints. It's important that we honor the law of Sabbath, the day of rest, and that we eat properly, exercise, and rest our minds at times. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs said. I'm just going to read it fast. Most know it in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 and following. The word said, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings." Very quickly, those two words. Attend to my words simply means to pay attention to what's written as it's written. But then he said, incline. That means to go beyond just what it says and what is written. It's get into the inner essence of what it means. And that's what he's saying. "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh." Wednesday night, we're going to be studying this passage of Scripture, and that word literally means medication. That's what God calls his word. Medication. Verse 22. Or verse 23. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil." That's God's call. That's the layout of the path that makes it smooth for us to travel on. No potholes. No broken up pieces of ground. No sharp items that might hinder us. Do you understand this? Because I'm telling you, and it's not new, and it's not just breakthrough. Saints, God is in the moving business today. He is moving. I can only liken it to this. God is moving towards his people today the same way Satan does. How Satan does? He sneaks up on you. He comes around the back way when you're expecting him to come the front way. He comes in very subtly. He comes in very carefully. He tries to get in without being noticed. Now, that part won't fit the guy, but God's doing the same thing. He is moving slowly and meticulously amongst his people, and there's going to be an explosion. You mark my words. Whether I'm here to see it or not, there's going to be an explosion in the spirit, or in the spirit realm. And God's people that are ready for God. Remember, he said, prepare to meet me. He's going to use them. I need to move on and come to a close. The third aspect of God's general will we want to look at is that it's God's will for us not just to be holy, not just to be healthy, but to be helpful. To be helpful. And I mean helpful going beyond the food bank ministry, going beyond buying school supplies, going beyond getting wood ready for the Indian reservations in November, or getting money ready to buy wood for the Indians. And can you imagine having to still live that way? Your whole house is heated by wood. Now, it doesn't take a lot when your house is only a room or two big, and that second room is not your restroom. That's outside. May not mean much to us, but you do that in Montana in the middle of the winter. It's cold. But God wants us to be helpful to mankind. I'm going to say this, and I'm tell you one statement off of this. The other day, I took a little day trip. Took myself for a trip. It was a car that had pulled off and was sitting in the right-hand side of the interstate. And this elderly woman got out of the car. And she was just standing there looking at it. So I pulled over. I got out. I said, "Ma'am, do you need some help?" "Yes, sonny boy." "Yes, sonny boy, I sure do." And I said, "Well, do you know what's wrong?" "Yes, sonny boy, I sure do." I said, "What's wrong?" "My front tire is flat." I stood on that ground. I said, "Lord, you know what's going to happen to me in my condition. If I break out a jack and try to break that tire loose, jack that car, and get all that off." And I simply said, "Lord, I'll do what I can, but I need you to help me." Two cars pulled over before I said it. Young guys got out of the car. "You guys need help?" I said, "Yeah, she's got a flat tire. She needs help." They fixed the tire and everybody went away. Now, in that case, physically, I couldn't have helped that woman, but I was willing. You want to know a big way you can help people in Mandan Peninsula? During this time of year, carry a jug of antifreeze in your trunk. And when you're riding around, you see that car smoking on the side. They're not taking a smoke break because they can't smoke in the tunnel. Get out and hand it. "You need some antifreeze?" "Yes, here." "What do I owe you?" "Nothing, but do me a favor." "What?" "When you get to the store and you buy you some more antifreeze, buy an extra gallon and carry it in your car." I can't tell you, every summer that I've been practicing this, and I've been doing it since I've been here, I have given a gallon of antifreeze away to somebody broken down. That's a good way to help people. But God's will is for us to be helpful. And in order to do that, we have got to be aware of the needs of others. And we've got to be ready to extend to them a helping hand. I love what the Lord showed me years ago about Acts chapter 3. I knew the story. I knew all about where Peter and John grabbed the man by the hand. But one day as I was reading it, the Lord just, and it's written in my Bible, the Lord just said to me, "That's extended ministry." And I said, "What?" He said, "That's extended ministry. You extend your hands to pull someone up." He said, "That's what my son did. He extended his hand to pull you up." They took ministry to a whole new level that day. As far as I know, it had never been done. They grabbed that man and pulled, didn't ask him his background, didn't preach a message to him, grabbed him by his hand, pulled him to his feet. What were they doing? They were extending the hand of Christ to that lame man. And we need to understand that since Yeshua is not amongst us bodily any longer, we are the extension of his hands. And that's God's will. See, listen. We are to help the people that are hurting today. And the reason why is you might be the person hurting tomorrow. God's will. Be holy. Be healthy. Be helpful to mankind. Would you rise with me this morning? Just a brief word of prayer. Thank you, Sister Susan, for bringing the fan up here. We'll have everything else adjusted and taken care of in no time. I can't wait until God releases me to call you to the altar. I mean, it's been 5 or 6 weeks, every week I keep thinking it's happening. But right now, I want you to just rededicate or recommit your life to God's will. You got a starting point. Three areas. Be holy. Be healthy. Be helpful. That's a starting point. And from there, God will grow. Father, in the wonderful name of Yeshua, Lord, with thanksgiving, I come before your presence, knowing that you have blessed this word going forth. It's not been ignored. It's been consumed. And I pray, Lord, that it will find deep, deep soil to root itself in each spirit that is present. Now we will begin to trust you with all our heart. Trust you in all of our living, in all of our lifestyle. That we will come to trust you knowing that you will then direct our lives, direct our path. And so, Father, I just pray that you will begin to move once again, fresh and anew, in each and every person in this building. And take each and every one of us to another level of service for our King. May we extend the love of Christ to our hands everywhere we go. May we come to a place that we receive, we accept, we break through the struggle of receiving your word concerning our health. But until then, Lord, let our health not hinder us, not limit us, not restrict us. And Lord, help us to continuously be holy before you, pleasing and acceptable, knowing your will. And we'll give you glory and honor in Christ's name. Now I pray that the grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ would rest upon each of us as we depart the sanctuary, but never your presence. Bring us back at the next appointed time in Christ's name. Amen. Bear in mind, if you stay in the Word, it'll keep you from worry. And see you Wednesday night, hopefully.